One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
You know, the weather's getting warmer. So I, for one, am ready to say goodbye to my jackets and my sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
I'm right there with you, Kate.
And you know what? I donned double quince the other night. I've got to tell you.
Okay. Yeah.
This is what's so great about quince, because I feel like I have really been able to update my wardrobe like for the long haul without spending a fortune. I wore a gorgeous white tee, like a simple, perfect white cotton t-shirt from Quince, but it was a little chilly out. So I threw on my cashmere hoodie, also from Quince.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Like they have basically given me a lineup of timeless pieces that I feel like keep me looking, I'm going to toot my own horn, effortlessly chic. Whether it's winter or summer, they've got premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. You got washable silk tops, really stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. Like truly, the list goes on and on. And the best part is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, something that's very important to us. So look, if you're going on a trip, if you just need to update your summer wardrobe, get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/forever35 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forever35 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forever35. Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I am Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
We're not. We're two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
But today we're talking about something that I'm doing, I think, to take care of myself.
Oh, I was going to say, but one of us isn't going to be talking about serums for much longer.
You know what? And that that just sums up our personalities so clearly. Yeah, let's not beat around the bush. Friends, Kate here. I have decided to retire from Forever 35. Dun, dun, dun.
Kate, why are you retiring?
Well, because I don't want to talk about serums anymore, Dori.
Look, no, I get it.
I'm joking. I actually do still want to talk about serums. I just got a new retinol from my dermatologist, but we'll talk about that on another episode. Dori, I am retiring because, quite honestly, I am experiencing some pretty extreme burnout that took me a really long time to even identify. That has been impacting my mental health and my physical health for a while. And this is, as you know, extremely bittersweet for me. And I'm nervous even talking about it, which you can probably hear in my voice. But I really have been feeling unwell. And think that giving myself some quiet, some time to just kind of take a step back and care for myself and spend time with my family, and just kind of, I don't know, even give myself space to think about what I can do to just kind of and care for myself, quite honestly, because oftentimes that is a thing I don't put first on the list until it's too late. And I kind of reached the too late stage in about December of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of silly because I have this book coming out and the main character deals with burnout. This is the book one last summer that comes out in June. And I was talking to a friend about this decision to retire from the show, and they were like, well, yeah, I mean, you wrote the whole book about burnout. And I like did not the connection that while I was writing that book, I was like extremely burned out writing about a burnt out person did not dawn on me until they said it. I thought I was someone who had experienced burnout in the past and was like, do, expert, bop, bop, bop. And it just kind of, you know, I've had a lot of health issues this past year, and also my mental health has been not great.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, even though it's, like I said, really bittersweet, and I've been agonizing over this and feeling all sorts of feelings, it's what I know is like the ultimate form of self-care for me, which is, you know, hilarious that is the point of this show. Like, it took me doing this show to even get to that point.
Yeah.
So that's the news. Sad news for me.
Kate, when is your last episode airing?
My last episode, co-hosting Forever 35 with you, Dory, will be airing the last week of May. So I believe that date is May 29th. So you're hearing this on May 1st. We've got a month together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm saying that to you. I'm saying that to our dear listeners who I cherish.
Also, I want to make it clear in case people didn't know. I was aware of when Kate's last day was. I was just asking her that.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? I want to note two things, which is like, I love working with you. So, now this is when I'm going to cry. I love working with you so much. And like part of my not wanting to stop doing the podcast is because you are such an important part of my life, and this show is so important to me, and our friendship is so important. And so I both have been grieving this, like letting go of this time that I get to share with you and this mm-hmm. experience with you, and just also, and with our listeners also. But I do want to just like note how gracious and like supportive and kind you've been to me as I've kind of worked through all this. Because, you know, as a people pleaser and a person who is trying to like work on that, my biggest fear is like being met with anger or disappointing people or hurting people with my decisions, and which is often why I don't make decisions, because I'm so terrified. And you have been it's been helpful to get to make this decision with you as my partner, because you have been so supportive of me. Mm. And I know that that's like, this is a decision that changes things for you too. And I just, I want to really like note how much that's meant to me. So thank you, Dory.
Well, thank you, Kate. I mean, I'm obviously sad that you're leaving. I mean, it is the end of a big era, in my opinion. And I guess I should talk a little bit about what I see happening with the show.
That's right, because the show isn't going anywhere.
The show must go on.
Listen, Dory. Dory is a showbiz.
Hi.
Profesh.
No, I mean, I think, you know, I think the sort of like obvious thing would have been, okay, we'll end the show,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, the show is us and our listeners, and, you know, it's been that way for more than 6 years. Obviously a huge part of the show is our friendship and our relationship. So I was like, well, that feels weird to, like, maybe still do the show. But then I was like, well, I really like doing the show. What if I just kept doing the show? well, and Kate also was like, you should keep doing the show if you want to keep doing the show. So I was like, maybe I should. Like at first I was like, no. And then I was like, So I'm going to keep doing the show. This could be a total failure. Like, I don't know. It could totally flop and everyone's like, ew, this is horrible. Or you might be like, you know what? We loved Dory and Kate, and this is just a different thing. It's not better or worse. It's just different. So yes, things are going to change, and like, but I think, you know, change is good.
I agree.
Change is needed in life as well as in podcasting. So I'm going to keep doing the show for the foreseeable future. And here's what that's going to look like, at least for the next few months. I'm bringing on a guest co-host, Elise Hu, who is a former Forever 35 guest. She wrote the amazing book Flawless about Korean beauty. She's so excited, and we are going to be hosting together for at least a couple of months while we kind of see how that goes. And, you know, at the end of that couple of months, she might be like, I'm not feeling this. I might be like, I'm not feeling this. In which case I might go to a series of guest hosts. I might find a new permanent guest. I might find a new permanent host. All this to say, like, it's a little up in the air, and I hope you listeners will kind of bear with me as I figure this out. So I wish I could definitively say this is exactly how it is going to be, but you know, life doesn't always work that way. So we're going to go on this journey together. And also, I should say, if you listeners have thoughts or suggestions, like this, you know, this is a time where I get to kind of like rethink the show, reevaluate the show. I want to keep what has been the essence of the show, but there's certainly things that can change. I'm open, again, I'm open to change. I'm open to suggestions. I'm also open to you saying, like, don't keep the show going. Like, if that's how you feel, that's fine. So Elise will start after Kate leaves, and we will kind of see how that goes. We will be doing at least one episode a week on the main feed. The Patreon, I do want to talk about the Patreon, because the Patreon, which I have so loved doing with you, Kate.
I know that that's like a whole other thing I'm weepy about. I love our Patreon.
We are going to pause, or I guess I am going to pause the Patreon. So we're going to keep doing the Patreon through the end of May. And then as soon as Kate leaves, the billing on the Patreon will be paused, which will mean if you are a monthly Patreon subscriber, your billing will be paused. If you're an annual Patreon subscriber, you will get those months like added on to the end of your membership. Because I kind of need to do one thing at a time. So I need to figure out the main feed first, and then I can turn my attention to the Patreon. But I think the Discord will still be going. I need to check on that actually. And kind of similarly, if you have thoughts, ideas about the Patreon, let me know. And again, I'm open. But you know, please reach out to us.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just like, you know, I'm holding a lot of feelings at once.
Yeah. Same. It's a lot. It's a lot to do that.
Yeah. For sure. And
you know, I will say one thing I have really been thinking about in making this decision is how, like, the impact that the listeners of this show have had on both of our lives, but I'm going to speak for me. Mm-hmm. But like, that has been, now I'm going to cry again. Oh, man. You know, and I'm on a lot of Prozac. I don't cry that much anymore. I kind of thought I wasn't going to cry because of that, but here I am. That has been beyond anything that I ever could have imagined. Mm. Like truly anything. Like I still have a hard time believing that anybody even hears this, but you know, one thing I was telling my therapist recently is like the only reason I really came to understand that I have ADHD is because so many listeners of this podcast and a certain co-host named Dori Shafrir very gently and lovingly called it to my attention. Mm. Like truly, I really, that I have felt so seen in so many ways doing this podcast by our listeners, but that was such like a gift that people gave me amongst like all the other many gifts I feel like listeners have given us over the years. So I just want to make sure that I'm properly expressing my gratitude to the people who have supported this podcast. It has been like beyond my wildest dreams about what anything creative or anything community focused could ever be. And I'm so beyond grateful for it. And I am genuinely excited to see what you do with the show, Dori.
Thank you, Kate.
You know, I think you're a genius.
Well, you and my mom.
Well, listen, that's two of us. And that's enough.
That is enough. That'll keep me going.
And, you know, shout out also to Sammy and Sam, who have been, you know, the backbone of this show in many ways.
Yes, who will still be working with me as we move forward.
You really couldn't ask for a better crew.
It's true.
Well, I'm sure people might have questions or comments, which I, you know, please do reach out. You know, thank you again for your listeners, for your kindness and trust over these last 6.5 years. It's like truly blown me away. It's been an unexpected journey. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard one for me to end, I'll be honest, but I do think it is what is best for me. Sometimes, you know what, Emily, oh my gosh, Emily McDowell, who has been on a guest on our show, wrote a really beautiful newsletter recently. And she is now writing a lot about burnout and career and taking care of yourself. I mean, she's had a really interesting journey herself with this stuff. Mm. And she wrote a really incredible newsletter on her Substack. It's called Subject to Change. And it was someone had written a question about like, is it bad to quit something that I love or quit something that I'm good at or done, like quit something that I worked. Here's what the headline is or the title. Is it dumb to quit something I worked hard to get? Am I a failure and or a flake? And it's such a beautiful piece of writing because she talks a lot about how she thinks of quitting as completion. And I just had read, I read this at the exact right time as I'd been, you know, kind of gearing up to have this conversation on air with you. You and I, this is not a surprise to you. You and I have talked at great length about this stuff, but I just thought it was really beautiful thinking about things. She said, in a conversation about quitting, failure, and walking away, there's a word and concept I think is underused, completion. And she says, declaring something complete also means actively calling back your energy from that thing, which allows you to choose to reallocate that energy somewhere else. So it's a really lovely essay. I don't know if folks want to give Emily a follow, but it really spoke to me. Mm. Oh, wow. A lot of feelings today. Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
Well, you know, and also it wouldn't be this podcast without reminding you that you can visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mention on this show. Our Instagram is at forever35podcast. You can shop our favorite products, which, look, I still enjoy products at shopmy.us/forever35. And if you do want to reach us, you can leave us a voicemail or send us a text message. That number is 781-591-0390. You can always email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Kate, I feel like we are like barreling into summer.
It's happening so fast.
It is. And I feel like also with summer just come more social events. There's weddings, there's nights out, it's vacations. I mean, like all the things happening in summer. And what I love is that Honeylove has just the right thing for all those events. Feel comfortable and confident this summer with Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short. The Superpower Short smooth shapes and lifts, giving you a flawless silhouette under any outfit with targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas you need less compression. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. Speaking of working with your bod, the crossover bra, which I'm wearing as we speak.
I wear that thing every day.
I do too. It's my favorite Honeylove piece. Let me just tell you why.
Yeah, get into
it. Okay, do you want to tell me why?
No, I was just going to say, like, I don't even need to wear it to events. I wear it, like, the event is every day of my life.
Yes, that's such a good way of putting it. The bra gives all the support of traditional bras without using any underwires. And just, like, sidebar, I have put on some of my old underwire bras lately and been like, oh, God, like, get this off of me.
No, thank
you. Once you start wearing Honeylove, you're just like, no, not going back.
You see how it could be.
Yes. Also, like, summer sweat under those underwires is like, ugh, the worst. Now you don't have to worry about it. Get the support you need with the comfort you deserve and treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market. Save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove.
You know, the weather's getting warmer, so I, for one, am ready to say goodbye to my jackets and my sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
I'm right there with you, Kate.
And you know what? I actually, I donned double Quince the other night. I've got to tell you.
Okay. Yeah.
This is what's so great about Quince, because I feel like I have really been able to update my wardrobe, like, for the long haul without spending a fortune. I wore a gorgeous white tee, like a simple, perfect white cotton t-shirt from Quince, but it was a little chilly out. So I threw on my cashmere hoodie, also from Quince.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, they have basically given me a lineup of timeless pieces that I feel like keep me looking, I'm going to toot my own horn, effortlessly chic, whether it's winter or summer. They've got premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. You got washable silk tops, really stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. Like, truly, the list goes on and on. And the best part is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, something that's very important to us. So look, if you're going on a trip, if you just need to update your summer wardrobe, get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/forever35 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince quince.com/forever35 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forever35. You know, Dory, we talk to a lot of really fantastic, intelligent people on this podcast, but I don't know, maybe you're like us and you want to go even deeper.
I'd love to go deeper.
We like to go deep. And that's not only possible with today's sponsor, but also easy to accomplish on Masterclass. Every year I get really into the classes offered and the instructors offering them. Like, I'm all over the place with the things that I like on Masterclass, but this year I am very interested in the class Redefining Feminism, which is 14 lessons from Gloria Steinem.
Okay.
Now, they dissect issues women face in the U.S. and ways we can play a role in the feminist movement in our everyday lives. Look, I majored in women and gender studies in college, so this is right up my alley. But even if you didn't, even if you're like, this is the first time I'm hearing those words.
I would argue, especially if you didn't.
Yes. Get into it with Masterclass, because this is the year you can really learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Go from just talking about improving to actually doing the things you've been wanting to do with Masterclass. And it doesn't have to be Redefining Feminism with Gloria Steinem. It can be gardening in your own garden or your yard or patio. It can be learning to cook Indian food or designing a space that you love. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to master like negotiation with Chris Voss, or think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or maybe capture your vision through photography with Petra Collins, Masterclass has you covered. With Masterclass, you get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35. Now, Dory, we do have some listener questions for this episode.
Great.
Which I would love to get to. But I do want to say that we have a few more episodes together.
We do.
I do feel like it would be fun to just reflect on like what the hell these last 6.5 years have been. Mm-hmm. Like what a wild ride. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do that right now. But I do just want to note, like, I have been reflecting on this a lot, and it's a big wow for me.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe we'll work that in to my last few episodes here on the pod.
Great. I look forward to that.
Okay. Well, here is a question we received. This is a longer question, but this kind of, I don't know, this spoke to me, and I wanted to get your thoughts, Dory, and maybe some other folks out there have some thoughts for this listener. They wrote, I am writing for advice on how to best support my husband, who is trying to make a career change, but dealing with a lot of rejection. After both being college professors, the career that both of us dreamed about for 5 years, my husband and I were burnt out. Together, we decided to move out of state so that I could take my dream job in a new career, even though my husband had no job prospects here. It was a risk that we were both comfortable with at the time, since he knew he also wanted a career change, and we thought that this would give him time to explore new career options. However, this has been so much harder for my husband than either of us expected. He had to take some time off job searching to work on his mental health. And after that crisis, he now is a therapist in medication. He has also spent the last month or so applying to jobs in earnest since almost a year now since we moved. It is becoming financially necessary for him to find a job. We both thought that he would not have a hard time finding a job once he decided the career he wanted. Some of his credentials are through the roof. However, he has not heard back about a single job application. My husband is feeling the rejection hard. I really have been trying my best to support him, but it has been difficult to figure out what to say. Clearly, he is not in a good place, and every day can feel like an emotional roller coaster. One mention of jobs or applications can send him in a spiral. Do you have any advice on how to better support my husband, or do you have any advice for him about career changes and finding a new job?
This is really tough. And I know just sort of anecdotally, it's a really tough time right now for people in, I feel like there's probably an updated term, but like white collar jobs, like office jobs, essentially. There have been a ton of layoffs across multiple industries. And I think people also, this is just based on like what I see people posting on LinkedIn. Like people feel really gaslit right now because the unemployment rate is like allegedly very low, but these jobs are getting like thousands of applications and it's gotten really hard for people to find work. So I just say that because I don't know if it's like reassuring to know. Like, I think there's, to me, it sounded like in this letter that your husband feels like he's the only one who's having trouble finding work. And I'm just offering that to say, like, you are not alone. It's really hard right now. And a lot of people are going through what you're going through. So maybe that, you know, I would just sort of like offer that. The other thing that I would say is, I am by no means a job search expert, but I do think that now is the time to really like exploit all of your weak ties, by which I mean it is the time to reach out to the person you were friends with in college, who maybe you haven't talked to in a few years, but who works at a company that you want to work at. And, you know, it's like, it's time to do that. It's time to do all of that for you and your husband. I think your husband could put together an email and send it out to basically everyone he knows. You don't want it to sound too sad sacky, but I think just sort of being like matter of fact, like I left academia. I'm looking for a position in X, Y, and Z. If you hear of anything, or if you just, you know, if you'd be willing to just like get a cup of coffee with me or talk to me on the phone, about how it's going, like I would really appreciate that. I've attached my resume, like that kind of thing. Like, I think it's going to be more effective than just kind of blindly applying to stuff off of like LinkedIn, because those jobs are getting hundreds, if not thousands of applicants.
Wow.
So the more, and you know, I know people, sometimes people are sort of allergic to the term networking, but like, I think you got to do it. So I'm sorry. I mean, I know, like, as someone who also left academia, although I never got to the point where I was a professor, I think there, you know, academia has been so challenging for so long that I think sometimes people think, well, just leave and it will be, everything will be perfect. And in fact, like, there is no perfect anywhere. So, you know, hopefully your husband can find something. You didn't say what field he's in, but maybe there's an opportunity for freelancing or consulting, just something that's going to kind of keep him busy, I think would be great. Kate, do you have anything to add?
I do. I know when I have gone through bouts of being unemployed or not even unemployed, or like looking for a career change or change jobs, and that really discouraging feeling, especially sometimes it's discouraging when you get zero reply, and then it's discouraging when you make it almost to the end of the application, like the interviewing process, and then they're like, well, bye. I mean, it's all extremely hard on the self and the ego and just, and also like the pocketbook. Like, it's all fucking hard. And one thing that I do think, and this is just kind of something that has worked for me, is like, I often feel like I have no purpose when I'm going through these times. And whether that's taking a job that you get to show up for part time, like whether it may not be the job that they're, or the career that they're trying to have right now, but even just having a job that you get to show up for and do the work and be proud of your work, I think can be really fulfilling. Mm-hmm. If volunteering, like if that's within your partner's means, I know that finances are an issue, but like even volunteering, like something where you get to be like, you get to be of service and work on something, I find personally very gratifying, because it is the depression really kicks in when you are sitting at home emailing into the void. Mm-hmm. It's just brutal. Now again, might be easier said than done, but that is something that has sustained me in the past.
I think that's really good advice.
Well, we wish you and your husband a lot of luck.
Yes. All right. Well, let's dive into this next email. I'm a longtime listener. I was very excited to hear you talk about languages and specifically Finnish on your recent Patreon episode. That's Finnish, the language, referring to Finland, not like Finnish, you know,
finishing a
finish
task.
Line. Yeah. I'm an American living in Helsinki for 2 years now, a lifelong dream after being here as an exchange student in high school. And language learning is a hobby of mine, especially now. I'm not perfect at Finnish, but I can at least get by in bank appointments and pretty much all day-to-day situations. I've only taken one Finnish grammar course since coming back to Finland. And otherwise, I've learned using the comprehensible input method, which they link to a site called Optolingo. And the comprehensible input method is apparently how to learn a language fast. Interesting.
Okay.
Focusing on listening to podcasts, watching YouTube videos, and reading material a little above my current level. I also used iTalki extensively, especially in the beginning. For me, it is the fastest and most fun way to learn a language. I previously studied Spanish for many years, but only really learned to speak and understand when spending a summer in Peru. Finnish is extremely hard to learn for most people, since very few already know a language in the Finno-Ugric language family. It is a synthetic agglutinative language, which means in Finnish, more than 20 different types of endings can be added to words in different combinations,
whoa,
all of which change the meaning.
Oh my gosh.
Prepositions are instead suffixes added to the end of nouns and adjectives. When endings are added to words, the base word changes, so it is sometimes unrecognizable. I once struggled in the grocery store reading the ingredients list of bread. The word for rye is, I don't know how to pronounce this, ruis. And the ingredients list had a rukiniva. Yiva is grain. I'm 100% butchering this, but.
You're doing great.
Rukin is the genitive case, possessive. So it means rise, but it is almost unrecognizable from ruis. Words can also be smooshed together into a single insanely long word, like the world's longest single word palindrome, which is Finnish. Okay, Kate, are you ready for this?
Yes, you're doing so well. I'm so into this.
Saipua kivi kaupias, which, as I'm sure was obvious to you, Kate, mm-hmm, means soapstone vendor.
My first guess.
In the end, it is highly regular with few exceptions, but there are so many rules, it's almost like there are no rules at all, since it's impossible to remember them all, but it is also very logical, which my brain really enjoys. It's definitely not for the faint of heart. But I also think learning new languages actually changes your perspective in many ways, since different words with different connotations exist in different languages, and they can be difficult to translate directly. Those words to me can really highlight differences in culture and thinking between people. Sauna culture is huge in Finland.
Ooh.
Maybe I would enjoy Finland.
Yeah.
Sauna is maybe the only Finnish word that has really entered the lexicon of many other languages. Loili is the word for the steam in the sauna when you add water to the hot rocks on the sauna stove. A perfect cozy word which tells a lot about Finnish culture. Love the pod. Thanks for all the work you do.
Okay. I've learned so much. I've learned so much. And I would like to go to Finland. I just want to say, I would enjoy that.
I would too, Kate.
Let's go loyally up our bodies. And there is a sauna chain in the Pacific Northwest, and I believe it's called Loyally.
Oh, that's so interesting.
I've been there with friends who live in Portland. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's a great word. Thank you for teaching us about Finnish. That was fascinating.
That was really fascinating. I was so excited when we got this email.
I know. I knew that would scratch like your brain itches. It's like perfect for you. Okay.
All right. Kate, should we take another little break?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
You know, we have been delving more and more into the topic of our skin as we get older and how we treat it and how we love it. Because look, as I'm learning in my mid-40s, as you get older, you deal with new things when it comes to your skin. Not that they're bad, they're just new. You know what I mean? Like, I am now just discovering creppiness, Dory.
Okay.
Which is visible on my neck and chest. Luckily,
it's a thing.
It's a thing. Luckily, OneSkin, our sponsor today, knows all about things like creppiness. And I'm not overly concerned with aesthetics, but like, I do just want to keep my skin healthy as I age.
Totally.
I love their topical supplements. They really help your skin feel, I don't want to say younger, but just vibrant, refreshed. They combine tissue engineering, data analysis, and cutting edge longevity science to literally create the world's most effective product to help with skin aging. I am particularly fond of their face topical supplement. It's essentially a moisturizer, but it has their proprietary OS01 peptide to really help with all the parts of our skin that are exposed to environmental damage. You can use it on your face, your hands, your neck. I know here where we live in Los Angeles, our hands, we're driving. That sun is coming at us at all times. OneSkin believes the purpose of skincare is not just to improve how we look, but to optimize our skin biology so that it is more resilient to the aging process. They really create next level skincare. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and, more importantly, acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code OVER50 at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code OVER50. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
All right, we are back.
Okay. Here's a message. There's no finish in this message, unfortunately. I'm a newly 37-year-old who still gets hormonal acne on the chin. I believe it's mostly whiteheads. The rest of my face is usually always clear. Just my chin is still a problem, and it's embarrassing for me. I wash my face twice a day. If I'm wearing makeup, I always use micellar water before washing my face, but even as of late, I do not let any makeup cover my chin. I also occasionally use Mario Badescu anti-acne serum and drying lotion. But overall, I feel like it doesn't do anything anymore. Is there anything else I can try before seeing a dermatologist? I've also never been to a derm before, so maybe I should look into that. Okay, yes. I would say take your own advice here and go see the dermatologist. And I would also pull back on the product usage. I would wash your face, moisturize, and during the day put on sunscreen and just let your skin live for a little bit and see if that helps. And if you are comfortable not wearing makeup for a bit, maybe also, or just, you know, like doing a mascara, not putting it all over your face, just see what happens.
I also just want to ask, are you someone who leans their chin on their hand a lot?
This is fascinating, right? Because that can cause acne.
Yes. Are you touching your chin even like subconsciously throughout the day? Mm-hmm. And if so, that could be contributing to it. It also might not be, but it definitely could be something that's happening.
I think it's also worth like, I would first go to the derm, but then maybe finding an esthetician that you form like a relationship with, who you trust to help with your skin, might be nice if that's something that is within your means. Mm-hmm. Just a thought. Excuse me. A question for me via text. Unless you have secretly been horseback riding, Dory.
Kate, I have not.
Okay, so we received this question from a listener. I would love any updates on your riding journey. When you shared about the clarity you've gotten around your goals, connecting with horses, trail riding, etc., it felt like you were speaking out loud my exact feelings before I had even figured it out myself, a fellow horse person. So I, as you may recall, fell off a horse in June of 2023, and then I rode again after. I was honestly a little spooked from that fall, and I hurt myself. And then I sprained my ankle at the end of August, and I sprained it really badly, and I'm still strengthening it, and it's still stiff. And then I got plantar fasciitis. And so the long and the short of it is I haven't really been riding since probably August. And I'm kind of just sitting with that right now, because while I really love horses and miss being around horses, and I like riding, but I really just love like getting to groom a horse and put on their halter and walk them around the block, I'm also trying to have less on my plate. As you probably gathered from the initial conversation on this episode. So I have not like, and I've also, and I'm also just trying to make myself kind of like do less and see how that feels. So I haven't been riding lately, but I still love horses. And I feel like I will hopefully come back to it when I feel ready again.
I feel like it's the kind of thing, and I have ridden a horse like once in my life, so I'm far from an expert here. But from what you have described, it does seem like a thing where like you could not ride for like 5 years and you could like literally get back on the horse.
Yes. It's like an old friend that you haven't talked to in a long time. And then you see them and you pick right back up where you left off, and there's no hard feelings for you, both of you being absent from each other's lives for a bit. That's how riding is to me.
You're saying horses don't hold grudges is what I'm hearing.
I hope not, but I bet there's one out there that does. That we could find one.
That's really funny. Well, Kate, I hope that if you do want to pursue horseback riding again, you will.
I'll keep you posted.
Okay.
I'll text you, and then maybe, maybe you'll come with me sometime. You're not a horse. Don't like horses, right? Like you wouldn't want to ride. Or would you?
No.
You would. Okay. Oh, you would. Sorry.
It's not that I don't like horses.
Well, some people are
not a monster.
Some people really are creeped out by horses or scared of horses.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Have strong feelings about horses. Yeah.
I think horses are great. I just was like, not a horse girl. You know, and there were a couple of girls I knew in like elementary school who were really into horses. But it was just not something that was even like sort of like on my radar.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I feel like if I'd been like, Mom, I want to ride horses, she would have been like, like she almost wouldn't have known what to do.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's like when I told my parents I wanted to play bagpipes and they were like, what?
Yeah, right. So like it just was like not, I don't know. So it's hard for me to say whether like if my mom had been super into horses and like I'd been riding horses since I was like 3 or 4, that I would have been super into horses, or if it was just sort of like an exposure thing. And that's why I just never got into it. But there, you know, there are other things that I was not necessarily exposed to that I later got into. But mm-hmm. I think the barrier to entry with horses is higher. And so it just felt, it just always felt like a lot to take on, to start as an adult.
That
which
totally
I know
makes sense.
Do, but like it was just like, you know what? I have other things I can do. But it's not because I don't like horses. I just want to make that clear.
Okay, yes. Okay. I feel clear about that now.
Okay. Okay. Should we get to this last question?
Let's do it.
Okay. Huge fan of the pod and all that you do. Curious if you or your listeners have any advice how to take meaningful breaks while working from home. I'm a partner at a law firm and work long hours with most of the day spent sitting in front of a computer. When I was in an office, I would take short breaks throughout the day to chat with coworkers or walk to grab a coffee or lunch, generally getting a quick change of scenery and some social time. When I'm working from home, though, I find that my, quote, breaks just involve scrolling through social media or mindlessly scrounging for snacks, not truly restorative or fun. What do folks do to get a real break during the endless slog that is work from home? I will also add that because of my workload, I try not to take too much time out of my day. So a midday exercise class, for example, would not be doable. Crossword puzzles, jumping jacks, would love to hear what others do.
Ooh, this is so hard. I find working from home to be, it's like something I've like loved and longed for and feels like a real privilege, but it's also kind of, I don't know, the lines get blurred real fast.
Yes. I was just talking about this with someone who was saying that either their company or like their husband's company was like requiring people to go back into the office. And they were like, I get 10 times more done at home than I do in the office. Like when I'm at home, oh, they were talking about their husband. That's right. That their husband is like chained to his desk basically all day.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And because they work from home, they're just like, they're kind of like always on and there's never a time to take a break. And whereas if they were in the office, there would just be more sort of like fluidity built into the day. And it's just ironic that companies are using the they're not productive card, which I don't think is like actually true. I think it's more of like a control thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's just a whole sidebar. Okay. I want to preface my advice by saying I don't always practice what I preach. But I'm going to preach this because I do think that it is like a helpful thing to do, which is I think you can like pretend you're taking a smoke break.
Oh.
Because like setting aside the whole like cigarettes are addictive, like whatever, smokers always got a break. Like they just always got a break. Like in the office, they would go out for a smoke. Like once an hour, once every couple of hours, they would get those 10, 15 minutes to just like chat with coworkers, and smokers always became friends. And like, it was a whole thing. And those of us who didn't smoke, like I just didn't build those breaks into my day. I don't know about you, Kate, but that just like didn't happen. I feel like smoke breaks are like not a thing anymore. Like, do people still smoke? I don't know.
I don't know. There was a whole episode, you know, I'm rewatching Friends, and there was a whole episode about how like Rachel's boss and like a different employee were like bonding because they were the smokers. So they would like go talk business outside.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that is totally true.
It was totally a thing. Like I remember people like getting together romantically because they like bonded on smoke breaks.
Wow.
Like, anyway, my point is that I would just try to build in a 10 to 15 minute break every, let's say, 2 hours and have like an alarm or just like something for that period of time. Can you go out and like walk around the block? I don't know where you live, but just the shortest time of being outside, I think, is just like a good reset.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like an hour long walk or an exercise class. I think if you literally just walk around the block, it will be helpful. I don't know. I always find getting outside to be like the best reset.
I love that suggestion. And I also think maybe you could have like an accountability buddy for this. Mm. Like, is there somebody who you can text and be like, it's time for our 10-minute break? Or someone you could work with? Like, I personally find, and recently I've been really struggling to work from home, and I've had to just like been going to every coffee shop I can think of, because just being around other people and out of my home space where I'm immediately like, gotta clean this mug, gotta refill the dog's water bowl. Like, I just look mm-hmm. at all my home things. But being out in another space with other people, I think mirroring can be a really powerful tool for working mm-hmm. out of the home. But then you kind of like, you get a break, you get a car ride to a coffee shop, you get some, I just think it helps break up the day a little bit. I don't know how that would work as for a lawyer, but I think being vigilant about it would be good. But I also just want to say, like, I think it's okay if your breaks are, quote, just scrolling through social media or mindlessly scrounging for snacks. Like you said, they're not truly restorative or fun, but I also feel like, you know, you're doing the best you can. It's okay if those are your breaks too. I love a crossword puzzle. I love a jumping jack and a stretch, maybe like a 10-minute stretch.
I will tell you some things that I do when I need a little brain break.
Yeah, what do you do?
Sometimes I play a couple games of Best Fiends.
Yes, I do this too.
Sometimes I go into the New York Times Games app and do like Wordle or Spelling Bee, or just kind of like futz around on those. Sometimes I'll look on TikTok for a few minutes. These are like phone based breaks. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do still maintain that the best restorative break is to go outside.
Yeah, I'm walking
even briefly.
We have a friend who was doing some like work sprints on Zoom. And when she would lead them, we would like work for 20 minutes. And then she would lead us in like 5 minutes of stretching out of your chair. And it really helped. And that's not something I would ever do for myself. I would never even give myself those 5 minutes.
Actually, you made me think of something, which is like, you said you don't have time for a workout class. But like, I would say most fitness apps now, like Peloton, I think Alo Yoga has these too. Like, they have 5 or 10 minute yoga classes.
Yeah. And chair yoga you could do at your desk.
Yoga with Adrian has short, really short classes. So you could just do one of those and just kind of like, again, just like reset.
I also do want to add that what could be really restorative for you, and this is something I'm really out of practice on, but I love, is a kind of meditation break. And I'll do 5 minutes. I'll put my feet up on the couch and rest my body down on the ground and just close my eyes for 5 minutes and put on a timer and just breathe. And it really is restorative.
I love that.
Well, let's toodle it on over to the intention zone, Dory.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. So I will say that last week I had committed to signing up to walk a half marathon with my friends. I was with two of those friends recently, and we all still mm-hmm. want to do it. So now we just need to sign up as a group. So it is in the process of happening.
Very cool, Kate.
Yeah. So I'm excited about this. I also just want to like rein myself in a little bit, because I'm doing what I tend to do, which is like, oh, I was going to set the bar low and walk it, but like, what if I walked it and I did a run walk?
Right,
you know, it's
right,
like, no,
right, right,
no,
right.
Stop it. Stop adding to your plate, Kate.
Oh my God. Yes.
You know, my intention for this week is I honestly just kind of like sit with my decision in this episode, I think, to just kind of, you know, I obviously have a lot of anxiety about sharing this and,
yeah.
Just kind of like feel the feelings that I'm going to feel, and also trust that I'm doing something that I need to do to take care of myself, you know, just trying to sit with all of it. It's a lot for me. And so I'm just going to kind of feel those feelings, I think, Dory.
Well, I'm here if you ever need to talk through
thanks.
Your feelings.
I've talked through a lot of them with you already. So I'll, you know what? I'll take you up on that again.
Great. Well, last week, I think I was just thinking about Passover. And I still don't have any like quote unquote real plans for tonight. Like so much of my mental energy and actual energy was spent on doing Henry's party yesterday that I just had like nothing left in the tank to think about Passover. But what I did decide to do, and this was like something I decided to do today, we're recording this on the first night of the day of the first night of Passover. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to make matzo ball soup.
Oh, yum.
That's it. So I'm making matzo ball soup. And then tomorrow night, we're going to a very informal second night Seder at a friend's. And like, there will be other kids there. And yeah, I think it'll be very low key, but nice to be like in community.
Yeah, that sounds lovely.
And then this week, I know the because we're recording this ahead, the timing of stuff is sort of off, but Henry's actual birthday is on Wednesday. And yeah, I just, you know, I want him to have like a special day and feel good about turning five. Like I think for little kids, like getting bigger is really complicated. Like talk about holding like different feelings, right? Like they're so excited to get bigger, but there's also like some mourning around that and change. A lot of change is happening. You know, he'll be in kindergarten next year. And so I think like turning five is a big sort of moment for him.
Yeah.
And you know, I just want to kind of like honor that, as you would say.
Can I also just add, I know I've really felt a lot of big feelings when my kids turned five. Like that's a big milestone.
Yeah.
So like also I just want to like acknowledge the bigness that it might be for you too.
It is big. It's also like, oh my God, it's been 5 years. Like, you know, I think because we've been doing Excellent Adventure for so long, like people have really been on that whole journey with us. And like, so when I posted a picture of his birthday cake on Instagram, like I got a lot of messages from people being like, holy shit, he's five.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they also are like, oh my God.
Yes.
I think that's partly the pandemic, but I think also it's just like time.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Henry. Happy birthday, Dory.
Thank you. Well, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer for now and produced and edited by Sam Junio. Sammy Reed is our project manager and our network partner is Acast. Thanks everyone for listening.
Bye.
Bye.